Ryan Rashaga joins us now. Shogger, how you doing?
That's a loaded show, man. What do you even need me for?
I ask myself that often, Shogger.
Many people in my life do as well. Yes, it's a common theme.
Well, Duffy told us the one day he hated you was at the Pittsburgh draft when you did the middle of the night wake up call. That's actually a pretty good. That's a pretty good gag. I like that.
Yeah, that wasn't one of my finer moments. I mean, it was just ill-timed. Even the night before would have been better. But the night before the draft, not ideal to do that to our host. Because it's like, and I'm sure he told you, the draft is one of his most stressful days of the year. And I think maybe I'd had a few and thought that would be funny. And it took about a year for it to be funny. And now it's really funny.
Hey, what isn't funny right now is the Edmonton Oilers, Char. Like, we were joking yesterday, having a little fun about moral victories. Last night, that might have been their worst performance of the season.
Yeah, I look back to that game in Dallas, and it's probably comparable. And, you know, like we talked about on the show yesterday, and if you listen to Todd McClellan last night, I mean, he was not happy. And, I mean, I think the question was asked about the goaltender. And he used a question about the goaltender to tee off on his team. You know, the goalie can't be in the forecheck, and the goalie can't be working in the corners. And so I definitely sensed extremely frustrated and disappointed Todd McClellan. And like we thought yesterday, there's only going to be so many more times for him to go to bat for his team, win or lose. And so for them to lose that game last night the way they did was pretty awful. And then you look at the line combinations today, and you can get a sense for just how much change he thought was needed. I thought the Nugent Hopkins line really struggled last night. I mean, Everly and Pouliot, really struggled. And Ryan was skating miles but didn't get much done. So, yeah, it was a pretty ugly effort all around.
Yeah, it was far from pretty at all. And, in a very strange situation involving Nail Yakupov. Just unlucky. The linesman stepped on his stick. They fall down. He takes Yakupov down with him. Now he is out 2 to 4 weeks. Jujhar Khara getting the recall for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. You know, I haven't been home since that release came out, so I don't know off the top of my head how Jujhar's making out down there, what his numbers look like. And
I had Jerry Fleming on yesterday. Khara had 7 points in 16 games, and according to his head coach, had been really good in both ends of the rink, had been only one of 2 forwards to dress in all 16 games, and felt like he was learning how to use his size effectively, according to his head coach.
Interesting. Well, what I'll be watching for with him is the foot speed and if it looks like he can keep up, because from what I saw, he looked a little bit sluggish through preseason, through the exhibition season and in camp. So with him, I mean, he's got nice tools. He's got a little bit of offense in his game, and he can play aggressive at times from what I've seen, but it's just strictly a matter of if he can move fast enough. And if you can't, you're automatically behind the eight ball, and I think we're kind of seeing that a lot with Anton Lander. If he just had a little bit more in his stride, he might be able to get there and be more effective. So that'll be what I'm watching for with Jujhar Khara if he gets in.
Justin Schultz will be in on Saturday, according to head coach Todd McClellan. Where do you play, or who do you play him with when he returns?
Oh boy, good question. I mean, it's not like what they're doing is working fantastic. So I mean, really, it boils down to how many minutes they want to lay on him, and if they want to ease him in at all. So, do you play him 17 to 20 minutes, or do you play him 23 minutes in his return? My guess is he'll ease him in. Maybe a little bit. So, I mean, Nurse and Sekera, they've been playing a fair number of minutes, and I think Darnell's been okay. He got a little bit jumpy last night and ended up trying to do too much on a few shifts, but overall he wasn't one of their biggest problems. So, I don't know that I would want to pair Nurse and Schultz together, though, at this point. I think probably a little bit too early to do that. So, not sure. Maybe on a third pairing with Griffin Reinhardt.
Well, you think Reinhardt's going to still be here and not sent down?
Oh, when they activate, they'll have to move him down. Yeah, we talked about that the other day.
Yeah, so, like Davidson could just play the left side.
Yeah, it could be with Davidson. Davidson's been right in that 20-minute mark, too, so it makes a little bit of sense that maybe that's where he goes. I don't know. It just depends how much he wants to shake things up, because I don't see an issue in shaking things up and making changes. I mean, he's keeping Hall and Draisaitl together, which makes sense. But he's moving Nugent Hopkins away from Eberle and moving some guys around, and that's probably what the lineup requires. So Davidson and Schultz together might be an okay look, and that's if you want to leave. If you want to leave Nurse where he is.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joined us. Well, yeah, all the lines juggling. Eberle going with Hall and Draisaitl. You'll have Korpakovsky with Nugent Hopkins and Purcell, and then Hendricks will be playing with Pouliot on the third line with Mark Letestu. So really just breaking up that entire Pouliot, well, Nugent Hopkins, Eberle line.
Well, and isn't it interesting? I mean, to me, if you're Pouliot, you're looking at that feeling like you're sitting in the doghouse, and so he should. I mean, he hasn't been very good, but of all the players that got moved around and juggled, I mean, it would have been easy for him to have left Nugent Hopkins and Pouliot together and tried Purcell on that line for a new look, but that wasn't good enough. That didn't send the message you wanted it to send. Now Pouliot's down on a line that is very clearly, I mean, it's basically a fourth line, but the third line on this team. So to me, there's a little bit of signal sending in the way he's got those lines structured.
Well, yeah, Pouliot, I don't think has been great.
No, he hasn't.
Nugent Hopkins. What do you make of his game and really his whole season thus far?
Yeah. You know what? It's been inconsistent, and you know, Ryan moves so well out there that he should be able to get more done than he is. And I think he needs to get his nose a little bit dirtier, and I think he needs to engage in the corners a little bit more and not try and swoop in and out. I think he needs to arrive on the scene ready to do battle for the puck. And I think he doesn't seem to be working for the ugly chances enough, that when he's at his best, he's actually does a pretty good job of that. And I think the combination of he and Eberle, I mean, Jordan, to me, Jordan's just having a heck of a time right now. If he doesn't have the puck on a stick, he's not doing anything. And so they haven't been very good together. But Nugent Hopkins, I think, needs to just get into the trenches a little bit more and muck it out a little bit. And then I think he'll buy himself some luck, because right now he's moving fast and moving well, but I don't see him digging as much as I think he needs to.
Interesting story playing out today in the NFL. Tony Romo left the game. Looks like re-injured his left clavicle. He's having x-ray, so he's out. And I know Spec had a story out today that McDavid is ahead of schedule, which is mid to late January. But to me, I'm not sure how ahead that is, because 10 weeks was mid-January anyway.
Yeah, well, and there were some saying that the Oilers had suggested it would be 3 or 4 months. So I don't recall hearing that at the time of the injury, although I was on my way to Florida. So
yeah, I never heard I never heard 4 months as a number.
Yeah, and in conversation with Spec, he had talked to me as well about it potentially being 4 months, or that being his impression from the Oilers. So I guess it's just all interpretation. So whether he's ahead of schedule or not, I mean Patrick Kane had a pretty quick timeline with a similar injury, did he not, heading into the playoffs?
Yep.
And ended up getting back fairly quickly. I think they need to be very careful. You got to make sure that it heals properly and don't take any chances. No need to rush him back. And if it's going to be mid-January, second, third week in January, you think, well, you give him one more week, then you push to the All-Star break, and now you get him on the other side of the All-Star break. So I just wouldn't take any chances with it at all. And I don't think they're going to be within striking distance of a playoff spot. I think the season, if it keeps going like this, has a good chance of basically being over by that point. And so I wouldn't be rushing him back. I mean, it's a bone, right? It has to heal. It has to heal properly. Then the idea is it's stronger than it was before once it heals. But you just don't want to take any chances with with Connor McDavid at all.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. We are live in Winnipeg for the 103rd Grey Cup, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. Shogger, let's get to the Grey Cup. It's getting closer now.
Yeah, how was the lunch today, by the way?
Actually, I didn't get to eat the lunch, but it sure looked damn good. But unfortunately, I had to leave early to come do my show.
Because of your show, yeah. Well, it's still better than having to take the morning shift like Dusty does. I mean, I was giving him heck this morning because he's got this early, early shift. It doesn't sound like he's having any fun out there at all. And it's Grey Cup. He's got to hit it. But that early show, I'd still take your shift and miss the lunch over there early morning.
Yeah, and Nilsson might be fibbing a little bit by saying he's not having fun. When you ask him tomorrow, ask him if he's still vibrating at his morning chair when he does the interview with you. Just ask him that question.
Okay, I don't even want to know what's involved in that, and I probably won't ask him that.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny though? It was laughing because he only had a few beers last night, and he was bugging me. He goes, "Yeah, I don't know what was wrong with me," because we didn't stay up late. Him and I were, well, I guess 1 o'clock, but it wasn't crazy, and we weren't like partying our faces off. We went to a little soiree. But it wasn't anything crazy, but there was really just beer there. So I think we had three or four beers each. And, sometimes when you only have three or four, you just wake up feeling like a dog. And that's what happened to Nelly today. He was hurting.
Yeah, he said he felt horrible on the show today. He's basically gone to Grey Cup to catch up on his sleep, right? That's the typical dad, new dad. He's just trying to get some sleep. But I warned him. I said he's got to finish strong, go hard later in the week. And then you want to be just kind of dozing off come kickoff. That's what you're supposed to do as an AM radio guy covering the Grey Cup.
What do you make of this game? It's funny. I've talked to a lot of people, and everybody's initial reaction on Sunday was, well, the Eskimos are going to kill them. And now people I've been talking to are like, well, I think Ottawa is going to keep it closer. And I don't know if that's just because they're here and now they talk to the players, so it changes their opinion. But the more last night I spent about an hour watching the game with another analyst, and we were breaking down Ottawa's defense. And they play a lot of man-to-man. And I think that will play perfectly into the Eskimos' receiving core. I could see them having a huge day in the air against the smaller defensive backs playing man-to-man.
Yeah, and you know what? I heard your interview with Matt Dunnigan today talking about that possibility. I thought Matt put it well that against an Eskimo receiving core like that, you have to be careful about putting your people into those kinds of situations. There's so much talent in that Eskimo receiving core. Potentially, you're just setting guys up to get beat. And I don't know that they'll walk themselves into that necessarily. So I kind of agree with what Maddie said. I think they're going to try and be creative. I think they're going to try and adjust. I don't know if they'll stick to their guns that way or not. The Eskimos are a little bit of a different look, and they haven't had success against the Eskimos this year. They haven't had to face Riley this year and still haven't had success against the Eskimos. So it wouldn't surprise me if we saw something different than maybe what would be considered the norm by Ottawa standards.
And the player awards tonight, coach of the year, it's interesting. A lot of people think Rick Campbell, he's going to win it, and rightfully so. That might be used as motivation for the Edmonton Eskimo players after conversations I had with a few of them today. They will feel their coach got slighted, and I could see that being a motivational rallying key because their players love their coach in Edmonton right now.
Yeah, you know what? We've covered a lot of coaches with this team. Really, with both teams, with the Oilers and the Eskimos, they've been through a number of coaches, and you get a sense for where the players are at with their coach. Now, let me just say, your players don't need to like you for you to be a good coach, so that's not the measure of whether he's a good coach or not. But what I'll say is, I haven't seen a combination of a guy who is as much of a hard ass as he is, and who, and I tell you, I'm down on those sidelines during the game. Holy smokes, does he ever blister into those players sometimes, right? He is not easy to play for that way. He gets all over his guys at times. And for him to be as hard as he is, as tough as he is, as businesslike as he is, yet you talk to the players on this team, and they go out of their way to talk about how much they like the coach. And it's not lip service. They're not going, yeah, no, he's good. They actually... I mean, you talk to Darius Bowman about Chris Jones, man, and the guy almost tears up. Like, he is willing to run through cement walls for this coach. And it's unusual to have a guy who is that tough but has that much appreciation from the dressing room. And I haven't seen it before. So I agree with you. I think that if he doesn't win the Eskimo players, that will be a rallying cry for them. The other thing you have to consider with his – I mean, the Eskimos are a very good football team, but he did what he did with that team, 14-4 record without a starting quarterback for half the year. And I know that a lot of the wins piled up once they got him back, but, I thought he did a pretty good job. And I think maybe where it's really impressive with Chris Jones is if you change the focal length a little bit, you go back 18 months, and the level of improvement that this team has seen from the end of last season and then to where they're at now. Maybe that's where it's even more impressive, is in the bigger picture than just this year. But definitely deserving and hugely respected by his players.
It should be a good game. I still don't see any way the Eskimos lose. That doesn't mean they won't, but I'm actually predicting the Eskimos win by 16 in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and I've covered Grey Cups too, where I can understand why the tide comes back a little bit, as far as, you know, most people were thinking it would be an Eskimo walk, and then you get there and the Renegades or the Red Blacks show up, and you go, okay, they got to suit up and play this game too. They're not just going to roll over and go away, and you think Henry Burris and the experience level there. But, I mean, the matchup is what it is. This Eskimo team is as good as the record indicates, and they should. If they play the way they can play, Grey Cup or not, I don't think Ottawa has a level in them to keep it within a couple of touchdowns.
Shogger, have yourselves a good one. We will talk to you tomorrow setting up the Grey Cup and the Oilers in Detroit.
All right, man. Take care of our boy Dusty tonight.
No, we will, buddy. Work, church, and home. That's what's happening tonight.
Attaboy. We'll see you.